This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Where you went to high school, that's a familiar and sometimes sticky question in St. Louis. But for Circus Flora, there's nothing awkward about it. In fact, high school is the setting for this season's cast of acrobats, clowns, and for the first time, a human cannonball. 2026 is also a fitting moment for some nostalgia. Circus Flora's upcoming show, Fly High, marks a milestone anniversary. This year, the nonprofit celebrates its 40th year of entertaining audiences of all ages. Joining us to talk about Circus Flora, its history, and why it's going back to high school, we have Artistic Director and Executive Director Jack Marsh. Jack, wonderful to have you on the show again.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks.
And also with us in studio is a professional and pioneering clown who's making his Circus Flora debut this June, Chad Damiani. Chad, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Jack, let's start with you. When Flying High opens in just a few days, it'll do so with special distinction. It's the show that marks four whole decades of Circus Flora. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's quite a milestone, and it's a unique institution that now we've been doing it for 40 years, and we're excited to keep on going.
And keep on going is very apropos for you, because Circus Flora has been such a big part of your life, including high school. What was it like to literally grow up with this circus?
Incredible, magical, everything that you might imagine that it would be. So I'm 41, so I was about 1.5 years old when Circus Flora was founded in 1986. I wasn't artistic director at the time yet, but then I became it about a dozen years ago. It's incredible. I mean, there's been so many wonderful performers, artists, musicians, designers, audience, all of whom have been touched by Circus Flora in all these ways over the decades, that to be able to look back and see the impact that it's made is really special.
Mm-hmm. So Jack, with you, we have a veteran. And then with you, Chad, we have a bit of a noob. Now, you are a clown, an educator of clowns, and a self-described clown boss. Your experience has not included growing up in a circus the way that Jack did. What then was your introduction to clowning, Chad? And I understand it involves a ring, but not the Circus Flora kind, right?
I consider my beginnings in clown to be when I worked for professional wrestling. I was with World Championship Wrestling from 1996 to 2001. That was in my mid-20s. So I started a little later than 1.5, like Jack. And at the time, I was just a huge fan. And it's only in retrospect that I look back and realize we were clowning, that we were building these relationships with the audience, and that we were getting them to invest emotionally in the stories that we were telling, which is essentially what I do now.
Mm-hmm. So relationship and investment, that is what it is.
A clown performs with an audience, not for an audience. Mm-hmm. So that is the distinction. And the work can look multitude of ways, but if the audience doesn't feel integral to what you're doing, if they don't feel like their presence is necessary for the show to continue, then it's not really clown work.
Mm-hmm. One of Circus Flora's trademarks each year is to push its own boundaries and to do something new. And you have included clowns in the past. What motivated you to include someone like Chad, who has a very different history, but is doing something different, in another part of the country?
Yeah, I think it fits nicely into what we like to do at Circus Flora, which is, we have this art form, circus, which is old and has a lot of cultural resonances and has all this sort of imagery associated with it. And there's some incredible stuff associated with it. We have a lot of these traditions in a Circus Flora show. We have an amazing flying trapeze act, the flying Willendas on the high wire, someone getting shot out of a cannon. Like, these things are all very, very traditional in their way. But also they're very, very fun and remain very fun. And so what we try to do is kind of take the traditions that we feel like still resonate with a modern audience, and then, you know, hold on to those and then try new things as well. And I think, you know, clowning, like circus, is an ancient tradition. Clowning is probably more ancient than circuses even. But, you know, there's lots of different versions of it, different takes on it. And, you know, someone like Chad and a sort of newer take on clowning, I think, is really fun and exciting, and I think brings so much to an audience and fits so nicely into the type of kind of circus storytelling that we do.
Mm-hmm. So modern clowning, Chad, what is that? You know, and how would you describe its distinctions compared to what most people are likely to think about when they imagine what clowning is?
You mean serial killers?
No. Possibly. Hopefully not for all ages circus, but...
I think what we're trying to do specifically in Los Angeles, and there's other markets too, is just think of clown as existing in the modern moment. So I think when clown sometimes gets a bad rap, it's because people consider it anachronistic. Right? It's a style that has existed maybe from the 1950s, and there's a certain look. And sometimes holding on to tradition means that we feel like we're displaced from time. So what we ask ourselves is, can we follow these same principles all the clowns have been using in Circus Flora for 40 years, but think of the audience in this moment, and how do we communicate with them in the world we're living in right now? Mm-hmm. And I'd say that's the big difference, is we're not held to any tradition other than that we're there to bring joy to the audience.
What appeals to you about the way Chad described clowning, and especially for 40 years? There have been people who've been to every season.
Well, I think it's they're operating from similar principles. I mean, we're not out to think about it must be like a show that happened a certain number of years ago. I think every single year that we've made a new Circus Flora production, the question that's been the undercurrent of all of it is, what is going to be the best, the most fun experience for the audience? And I think that's where these lines of thinking match up perfectly.
Mm-hmm. When and how did you first see Chad's work, Jack?
I think I've been aware of Chad's work for a few years through the world of the internet. I think the first time that I saw Chad live was in a show in New York that sort of bounces back to New York to L.A. called Stamptown, which is a clown show, a sort of clown variety circus adjacent show that Chad was performing
for adults too. This is a show that happens late at night and stays well past its welcome. We mm-hmm. always go too long.
Yeah,
you know.
Tell us about what show Jack saw. Stamp.
So he saw Stamptown. We actually just shot our very first Netflix special just about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully that will be coming to a streamer near you, Netflix. I already said it. And this is a show really built out of the traditions that we've been creating in LA, these new traditions. And I believe you saw me doing Reckless Chad Rubin, is that correct? The old canceled comic?
Yeah, correct.
So essentially, it's this comic who is a reflection of a lot of comics you might see in the manosphere now, who they're always saying they're being canceled, except this comic is truly contrite and feels terrible and wants to make it right, but he lacks the tools and perspective to get it right. The interesting thing about that character is it's designed that I'm kind of playing with all these taboo topics, but the audience embraces the character because at least they're trying. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think this idea of like, at least this person wants to get it right. They don't have the tools or the knowledge. And so often at a Stamptown, I get cheered even when I'm completely wrong, because they know at the heart of everything, what I want is for them to know I see them and for them to know that our differences are something I embrace.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also teach clown.
Yes.
In your performance with Circus Flora, we're not going to ask for specifics because that element...
Spoilers, you mean? You were going to ask for spoilers?
The surprise is really important, right? As you're performing, you know, is there a way that you are teaching people what clown is?
I'll tell you what we are teaching people all the time when we perform clown, which is clown is a series of games. It's all about creating games that the audience can play along. So being a good clown means that you can lay rules down very elegantly so that they can play back. And that might be a call and response. That might be reacting a certain way to a certain thing. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. The audience really feels like, oh, I am a collaborator in this show. So I do think all the teaching that I've done has made me better at communicating how I want the audience to play back.
Mm-hmm. You were also featured prominently in an article in New York Magazine earlier this month. And that article explored, you know, the modern clown scene, and you've mentioned Los Angeles. There's a part of that article that talks about the concept of a flop. What does that mean? And can you give us a spoiler as to whether we'll see some of that?
I mean, considering my career, I think I'm going to flop a lot.
Okay.
The flop is the moment after failure. So in clown, we believe that often there's more value in getting things wrong than getting things right, because we share failure in common more than we share success. So if you meet, say, Yo-Yo Ma, how much can you relate with how good he is at cello? But if you saw someone go on stage and be terrible at cello, you'd be like, that's how I'd be playing cello. Mm-hmm. In general, in life, every day, we just keep making mistakes and adapting and adjusting. And so the clown tries their best. They can't fake failure, because to fake failure is to succeed.
Yes.
Like, if you're like, oh, I'm trying to fail, and you do fail, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
So we find ways to challenge ourselves, knowing most likely we will fail. And in that moment of vulnerability, the audience sees themselves. And then they see how desperately we try to fight and win them back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, there are definitely moments. There are definitely games that we've created that the audience will see the clowns at risk in their way. You know, you watch people on a tightrope, you watch people on a trapeze, that's life or death. But we're risking our egos. We're risking embarrassment in a way that we're welcoming people to laugh at our suffering.
Does that sound familiar, Jack? I mean, especially given the number of years Circus Flora has been around, how has the company, the organization, learned from its mistakes in order to deliver something that brings people back generation after generation?
I think that's right. I mean, you're constantly learning and you're constantly figuring out how best to connect with an audience. So we see these generations of people come and be part of the audience of Circus Flora and sort of join our family for an afternoon. It's now been people who have come to Circus Flora as children, who are now bringing their children, in some cases their grandchildren, seeing these multiple generations come and enter our world and experience this Circus Flora universe for a bit. And we try to really envelop them. We bring them into this family that we ourselves have created through, you know, through our own family relationships, and then also through the tightness of having worked together in some cases for these 40 years. You know, we develop these very familial relationships too. So I think there's a certain energy to being on site, being under the big top, that, you know, is really really lovely and wholesome and familial in a way that I think is really unique as an outing, as a piece of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. So this season's Flying High show is just a few days from opening. That's very close, and you actually both walked over here to our studio from the big top in Grand Center. What is it like to be back, you know, and to be preparing for another show?
It's great. I mean, we, in some ways, we have, you know, we know where we need to get to and what the show will ultimately look like. It's in our heads as performers and our director and our creative team and our musicians and so on. But it's always just a giant mountain to climb every single time. So we, you know, over the last few months have done quite a bit of writing that we honed into last week. And then that's with the clowns and with the creative team. And then from there, all of the circus artists show up with, you know, that is an additional 45, 50 people who arrive, all with huge pieces of equipment that we need to figure out how to load into the tent and prepare for their acts, and then how we do these transitions musically and story-wise. You know, there's so much that goes into a Circus Flora production that it's a huge mountain of work to do it, and so many people doing such great work to put it all together. But for me, it all is a build-up to some of those moments that our audience experiences when we get there. You know, the the person who throws a triple somersault on the flying trapeze, Alex Cortez. He does that. It's incredible. He's trained his whole life to do that. But it's also the whole story buildup that's gotten there. It's the musical build that's gotten to that moment that's prepared the audience for these incredible experiences that they have. So it's, you know, it's these flash moments at a circus floor show that are built on top of a mountain of incredible work.
Mm-hmm. Chad, how has preparing for this Circus Flora show compared with how you get ready for shows in LA or in Las Vegas?
I would say they work a lot harder than I do. So that was and I love radical ambition too, to what Jack's talking about. Like right now, trying to get all these pieces together, I don't think you can create a piece of entertainment that truly wows an audience where there isn't a point where you're like, this is impossible. We cannot get these things to line up. That's where greatness happens, right? You can, and I think in LA, we rely a lot on that we have these adult audiences and we rely a lot on the moment of play. And, you know, when you expand it out that like you're performing for these families and you're performing to honor a lineage and to have the parents in a state of nostalgia while kids are seeing it for the very first time. Like there's a weight to that that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. I love that feeling of like, this is something that is actually part of people's lives. And, you know, when I'm doing a show at Flappers Burbank, I don't usually feel that way.
I know exactly the you place know what I'm talking you're talking about. Yeah. Would there be a human cannonball at Flappers in L.A.? There is going to be one.
There should be at the open mic. They should be shooting many people out of a cannon.
So the addition of this human cannonball, what inspired this? Did you build Flying High around this new thing?
No, I mean, we built it for all sorts of reasons, but the human cannonball is something that's never been at Circus Flora before. And part of that is a constraint of space. The big top is a big tent and seats a solid 1,100 people, and as we can do a whole lot in there. But the distance with which you want to shoot a human cannon, it doesn't quite fit in the big top. So we're gonna do that in our midway outside during intermission, weather permitting, because it can't be rainy or too windy, because otherwise the human will miss his mark. Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, to me, being able to do something special and new for our 40th anniversary is really exciting. I'm you know, very much looking forward to our audience seeing that.
And getting to 40 is quite a feat. And, you know, I do want to ask about the financial health of the organization. Earlier this year, the former Circus Flora board president, George Pace, admitted in federal court to embezzling about $120,000. His sentencing is tomorrow, by the way. But how are things going now? You've turned a new page.
Well, certainly much better than they had been. I mean, we're very much looking forward to having that part of our 40-year history past us. And, you know, it's we're in a much better place than we were. But that said, you know, we're a nonprofit performing arts organization, so we're you know, always needing to figure out how to make sure that we're sustaining ourselves going forward. But, you know, between you know, some really wonderful board members and some adjustments to our accounting systems and overall processes to make sure that something like that doesn't ever happen again. We are in a great spot to you know, continue on for the next years, the next decades to come. That's what we hope to do. But it's something that we always need to be thinking about. And, you know, what's I think wonderful about Circus Flora and about its relationship with the city of St. Louis is that it's, you know, it is so important to this place, and we have these relationships and these wonderful groups that are so supportive of Circus Flora, that, you know, that's the path forward, is to really lean into our relationships with the city and these funders, you know, Regional Arts Commission, Missouri Arts Council. These groups are so important to us and to the city and to the region generally. Mm.
Circus Flora's Flying High show opens this Saturday and runs through June 21st. For more information, visit circusflora.org. Jack and Chad, thank you both for joining us today, and good luck with the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.